Thank you, Father.
Thank you for those words. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So what we're going to do today, the subject is a positive subject.
The what?
A positive subject. Adultery against Yahweh.
Ah, we're going to feel room then.
Adultery against Yahweh. We were all born in an idolatrous environment, and that is in a Christian environment. We're born with doctrines that are not true. They're not according to this book, but we were led by them, and so we just follow them because that's what our parents taught us and that's what our schools taught us. So we're going to look at this to be able to take this very seriously because Yahweh is a jealous El. And we cannot take lightly what is commonly accepted in what the so-called Christian community, which is, it has nothing to do with Christianity, it's actually adultery. So I'll give you an example is King Josiah. Let's go to 2 Kings 22. And he was born in an idolatrous nation like we were. And so we're going to see his response. Because guess what? His grandfather was Manasseh.
Yeah. Pretty nasty guy.
I mean, this is bad news. 50-some years of some of the worst stuff possible. And so he doesn't know any better. So 2 Kings 22:10-13. And guess what? They find the scroll of the law, which is what we have. And we're not talking about the King James. We're not talking about the NIV. We're not talking about translations that please men, which is what majority of all translations today are there to please men so people will buy them, to fit in with the idolatrous doctrines. And they have good, too, but that's what it comes down to. So in 10, then Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, a book hath Hilkiah the priest delivered unto me. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And this is what we should be doing once we read this. And we say, wait a minute here. What are you teaching? What was I taught? And it should be, my God, how bad that is. And it came to pass when the king, 12, and the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam, son of Shaphan, and the rest of the guys, 13, go ye inquire of Yahweh for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book which have been found. For great is the wrath of Yahweh in that it hath fired up against us because our father had not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all which is written concerning us. That should be our same concern right there. So when you see adultery being committed all of your life, you have tendency to become desensitized. Well, everybody does it. You know, when you're in a Catholic environment, you see idolatrous behavior everywhere. You know, you see people praying to Mary. You know, so Protestants can see this. You see them praying for dead saints who are in purgatory so they can get out earlier. I mean, that is normal to somebody who was brought up in Catholicism. Yeah. And they used to have their saints that you would pray to for protection. So you had St. Christopher and St. Everybody's got a saint. And this is all idolatry when it comes down to it. But you have to say, well, it hasn't seemed like it affected them very much. You know, this is what they teach. So that is our point, is do not get desensitized. And we've got to look at the severity of being a harlot with Yahweh. And so just think of that. You know, think of if a husband and wife is committing adultery while the other spouse knows about it. What kind of severance? Yeah, you know, the severance is that's happening. You know, the coldness is going on, and that's what happens. So, just giving an example. And this is, you know, through Dallas Theological Seminary, which is a big seminary, and their statements of belief of what you've got to believe. And this is for the students to go to their university. Here's, you have to believe in the Trinity, the full deity and humanity of Christ. And we'll kind of keep focused on that, especially on the Trinity. So in the full doctrinal statement, it says, we believe that all the scriptures center about the Lord Jesus Christ and his person and work and in his first and second coming, and hence that no portion, even of the Old Testament, is properly read or understood until it goes to him. Is that true?
No.
Absolutely not. Where's Yahweh in this? Where is God the Holy Spirit in this? I mean, think about this. No. Who have they exalted to the position of Yahweh?
Yahushua.
You know, just astounding. This is one of their first statements called the Scriptures. That is blasphemy. How about this? We believe that the Godhead eternally exists in three persons. This is normally just taught all through Christianity. And we're going to find out it's idolatry. I mean, it's committing adultery to our Creator. Now, this is really good. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one God. Now, picture how they're going to try to do this. Having precisely the same nature, attributes, and perfections, and worthy of precisely the same homage, wait a minute here, confidence and obedience. Now wait a minute, worthy of this, precisely the same homage. Well, wait a minute, I thought you said there was one God. You don't say the same homage. So now what you've done is you've broken them back down to three gods. And that's why you say they're worthy of precisely the same homage, confidence, and obedience. And so you pray to the Holy Spirit, you pray to Christ, and you to them, not even that. The Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father. Forget Christ. But, you know, this is adultery. And where? And and so-called Christendom. How about the first advent? The eternal Son of God. What does eternal mean?
No beginning, no end.
Yeah, no beginning and no end. What is this? Well, first thing, you can't be a son if you never had a beginning. The eternal Son of God came into the world that he might manifest God to men. We believe on the human side. He became and remained a perfect man, but sinless without his right, yet he retained his absolute deity, being at the same time very God and very man. This is adultery. Now you think, Father, well, everybody believes, so it's okay. Yahweh has just consented to it. Christ has just consented to it because it's all done. No, this is what we should look at. Josiah never be desensitized to be able to, and actually be able to tell people, do you realize what you're doing? There is salvation only through Christ. We believe that owing to universal death through sin, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless born again. Is that correct?
Yep.
Wait a minute here. Yeah. Born again. See, was Abraham born again? Was Moses born again? What are you talking about here? So, I mean, we believe that owing to universal death through sin, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless born again. Well, nobody, that term didn't even come up until in 1 Peter. This is what is being taught to their students. The Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, though omnipresent from all eternity, took up his abode in the world in a special sense on the day of Pentecost. So he's not in the action. The scriptures are not about him, every scripture. They're all about Christ. Well, now you made a really distinction between
homage.
Yeah, to Christ and the Holy Spirit, and nothing to say about Yahweh whatsoever. And so you see where this is going, and which you will see. We believe that some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, such as speaking in tongues and miraculous healings, were temporary, and that the deliverance of the body from sickness or death awaits the consummation of our salvation in the resurrection. So, when do you actually get your healing? After you die. And your resurrection. I thought, I bet these guys go to hospitals all the time. Doctors. What do you think twice about it? You're just like... See, there might be one more. Yeah. The eternal state.
Eternal what?
State. This is our last statement. We believe that death, the spirits and souls of those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, pass immediately into His presence. Not into Yahweh's presence. So just think about this. Mm-hmm. Not into the Holy Spirit's presence. It's into the Lord Jesus' presence. And there remains in conscious bliss until the resurrection of the glorified body when Christ comes for His own, whereupon soul and spirit, body, reunite, shall be associated with Him forever, in glory. Not with Yahweh, not with the Holy Spirit. So who is the God in this statement?
Yahushua.
It's Yahushua.
They don't even say it's not even Yahushua, it's Jesus.
Yeah, it's Jesus. But I mean, this is how you end your statement. And we believe, the bad people not to be annihilated. This is great. But the spirit and souls of the unbeliever remain after death conscious of condemnation and misery until the final judgment. And think of that. Think of Cain, who's been tortured for
6,000 years.
6,000 years. But that's just the beginning because it's endless. Remain after death conscious of condemnation and misery until the final judgment of the great white throne to close the millennium, when soul and body reunite, shall be cast into the lake of fire. Not to be annihilated, but to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord Jesus and from the glory of His might. Not from Yahweh, but this is adultery. We're going to see this. It's always in the heart of man to be doing that way. So let's go to Exodus 20 to reestablish the foundational truths of people not reading His Word and overlooking these things. But if I don't go on that term, I don't have any friends. I don't have a church to go to. So I really... That's where the pressure comes, to submit. But we see in Exodus 20, verse 1, "And Elihu spake all these words, saying, I am Yahweh thy Elohim, who hath brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of servants. Thou shalt not have other gods besides me." And that besides me is face, unto my face. And you look at the footnote. "Thou shalt not have other gods besides unto my face."
Unto my face.
"And thou shalt be no images," which we got images also. So here's what Father says, I am it. This thing has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
There's no Yahweh. There's the Father, and that's it. We can't have Yahweh. Let's see here. Aaron, we know in Exodus 32. Let's start 32. So this is nothing. Well, these people are really smart people. Well, how about Aaron, Aharon? He was a prophet anointed by Yahweh. At 32:1-5, you think it can't happen? "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aharon and said unto him, Up, make for us gods who shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what he shall befall him," which obviously he did. And then in verse 21 and 23, same chapter. And Moses said unto Aharon, what had this people done to thee that thou should have brought upon them a great sin? And Aharon said, let not the anger of my Lord kindle. Thou thyself knowest the people, that ready for mischief they are. So they said to me, make for us gods who shall go before us. The same proclamation today. That's why we have three gods. Make for us gods. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has befallen him. And then he takes off his gold, and all of a sudden, out came this calf. Now, the important thing is the commingling, to say, we don't have three gods, we like God the Father. Now, it's the commingling, which is always the case to make it acceptable. It's not another god like, what's the Muslims? Oh. Allah. Yeah, it's not Allah. All right. No, we're going to just incorporate them into the same unit so it doesn't affect the people. And let's go back to verse chapter 32. Let's see here. And verse 5. I made the calf, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, a festival to who?
Yahweh.
To Yahweh tomorrow. So you incorporate the calf with Yahweh. And so I incorporate God the Holy Spirit with the Son, which is the center of everything, because there's no, you know, when you go into any Catholic church, it's the cross. There's no Yahweh. It is the cross. And this is the God we can see, which is Yahushua. Let's see here. And we won't go there, but Deuteronomy 9:20 says, Moses said, Yahweh wanted to destroy Aharon. Well, wait a minute. These people who are doing this are like Kenneth Copeland or Joyce Myers or the Catholic Church or the Pope. Well, they're very important people. Yahweh would want to destroy them. He wanted to destroy Aharon for that idolatry that he did. And Moses supplicated for him and mediated for him. Yahweh did destroy Abihu. And what's the other one?
Nadab.
Nadab and Abihu, Aharon's son, with fire. Korah, a lot of other people. So you have to understand, you know, our desensitizing ourselves. We can get that around now in the United States. Homosexuality has become legalized. And the point is, it becomes desensitized, which it becomes acceptable in your church, because Jesus loves everybody. Let's love everybody, hug, kisses, and that's how it's incorporated to tell another generation, like in Melania's particular age, homosexuality was legalized by our Supreme Court probably 10 years ago, 15 years ago, by saying sodomy was not a crime, which all half the states had sodomy as a crime. And so they legalized sodomy, which then opened the doors to sodomy, which is
the transgender and everything else. No.
Yeah, and so, but then it's there to get desensitized. Now we go to Deuteronomy 6, and our duty is really simple. What do you think of Yahweh? Do you really take him seriously? And so we all have to look at ourselves. Do you really take what he has to say seriously, or are you going to take it with a grain of salt?
He says he's a jealous God.
Yeah, but look at what he's asking us. He's commanding us, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh alone. Thou shalt therefore love Yahweh thy God. Is that a suggestion, Melania?
No.
Yeah. Thou shalt, and actually this is all in the perfect state, which means thou hast loved Yahweh thy God. I'll put it in there correctly. Thou hast therefore loved Yahweh thy God with all thy heart, did it say Jesus? No. Is Jesus in this verse?
Yeah.
They said, we believe that all the scriptures center about the Lord Jesus Christ, not about Yahweh. And his person and work and his first, what is this got to do with Jesus? Not one thing. Because they're not going to say Jesus is God, but they do say Jesus is God. So I'm going to believe in the Trinity, but we're just going to talk about Jesus. But look at this. You're breaking the first commandment.
Yeah.
I mean, is that adultery? Is that, would you call that being a harlot for what Yahweh, for the relationship? And so when we entered in a relationship to serve Yahweh and a covenant to say, I'm going to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means I'm going to do what you say to do. But then you say, I said that yesterday, but I'm not really going to feel it today. I'm going to do part of it. And so I'm going to give you part of my affection. The other affection is going over here. And that's called, idolatry.
It's not called idolatry.
It's, well, because now I've got two things that capture my affection.
Yeah.
So I've got three different lovers. So I love Yahweh. I love maybe my husband or wife who is an unbeliever. And I love my political party, which is the Democrat Party. And so I give all my... So I've got my affections, because they contradict each other. They're pulling one from another. And to be able to say, Yahweh's going to say, that's good. That's good. As long as I'm in there, give me a pinch of that.
No.
And we'll see that in Revelations 14. So we see, this is in the Old Covenant. How about the New Covenant? Revelations 14. Then we have been so accustomed to taking incorrect standard that we are corrupted through and through. I mean, mm-hmm. we can't even realize it until somebody says, "Wake up, man! What did you just say?" And 14 verse 6, and I saw another messenger flying in mid heaven, having an aged body, glad message to announce unto them who are dwelling upon the earth, even unto every nation and tribe and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
No.
Look at that. Good place for it. Or fear Jesus. Fear God and give Him glory. If I don't obey Him, I don't fear Him.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judging is coming, and do homage unto Him that made heaven and the earth. Well, Jesus made the heaven and the earth. And sea and the fountains of water. This is how the book ends. We saw how it begins. Is Yahweh is the focal point. Yahweh is everything. Now we go to 1 Kings 18. And we see how it's incorporated of multiple gods. They're just part of society, because I'm covering my bases. And that was with Elijah, 18 verse 20.
Say 1 Kings?
1 Kings, 18 verse 20.
Wait a minute.
So remember, Baal means what?
Lord.
Lord. That's just all it means is Lord. So husbands were called Baals. Masters were called Baals. It's the same word. They'll just translate master or husband or Baal. Verse 20. So Ahab, or really his name is Oxab, sent among all the sons of Israel and gathered people under Mount Carmel. And Elijah drew near unto all the people and said, how long are you limping on two divided opinions? If Yahweh is El, follow Him. But if Baal, follow Him. But the people answered Him not a word. This is really good. So we can say, well, if the Holy Spirit is God, follow Him. If Yahweh is God, follow Him. If Jesus is God, follow him. Choose. And as we know, obviously, who won this tournament?
Yes.
Yeah. As you can see, Yahweh won it. Baal. Now we go to Israel's fall. So this is incorporated. They had two. The way of life, as we know, with Jeroboam was the same situation. Jeroboam is the Trinity. Jeroboam made two more gods after he left Jerusalem, one for Dan or Bathsheba. And so you had Yahweh in Jerusalem, and then you had a calf in, I think it was Bathsheba, and then one in Dan.
Bethel.
And so there's two other gods too. Were people happy with that?
Yeah.
Sure were.
So they kept them together.
Was it accepted? Sure was. How many years? Hundreds of years. We've had this since about 300 A.D. So we're probably 1,700 years of this same lies, of the same adultery that the people teaching are committing and getting other people to commit also. So now we go to 2 Kings 12:7, and we'll see Israel, which was the 10 tribes, Yahweh gave the explanation of why they fell. They were taken captive. They lost their country. They lost their two gods. And they lost Yahweh. Let's see, 7 through 14. Let me see, wait a minute here. 12. I'm at 13. No, that's not right.
Page 395.
Well, no, that's it's not telling the demise. I wrote down the wrong chapter. Oh, there it is. It's not 12. It's 17. My mistake. 17, verse 7, right above it. The review of causes leading to Israel's downfall. You should be able to listen to this and say, God, I don't want to repeat their mistakes. And like one person said, maybe the purpose of your whole life is to show other people what not to do. How's that? They're in prison for the rest of their life. They've had an eye put out or whatever, lost a limb, and that's what you get for being a criminal. Oh, I'm not going to follow that stat. So, Aaron, you want to read 7 through 14?
And it came to pass that Israel sinned against Yahweh their Elohim, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt. Yea, they did reverence to other Elohims, walked in the statutes of the nations whom Yahweh had dispossessed before, from before the sons of Israel, of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the sons of Israel did secretly things which were not right against Yahweh their Elohim, and built for themselves high places in all the cities, from the watchman's tower to the fortified cities, and set up for themselves pillars and sacred stems upon every high hill, under every green tree, and burnt incense there in all the high places, like the nations whom Yahweh drave out before them, and did things that were wicked so as to provoke Yahweh to anger. And they served the manufactured Elohims, as to which Yahweh had said to them, ye shall not do this thing. And Yahweh testified against Israel, against Judah, through all his prophets, every one who had a vision, saying, turn ye from your wicked ways, and keep my commandments, my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent it to you through my servants the prophets. Howbeit they hearken not, but stiffen their neck like the neck of their fathers, who trusted not in Yahweh their Elohim.
There you go, same story. And we got to realize, well, that one, these are really bad people. Well, we have the same people. Mm-hmm. They're not sacrificing their children.
Yes, they are.
Well, some Christians are not. So I'm going to say the majority of the Christians, but you have half the Christians who are, through being a Democrat. Now, we're going to talk about Dallas Theological Seminary, Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Myers, Evangelical, which are usually the most highly exalted Christians, are not sacrificing their children, but they do have multiple gods. And don't think twice about it. And if you don't have multiple gods, you're not a Christian. So, I mean, that as it goes. Let's go to Jeremiah 3.
No reverence for Yahweh.
Yeah, no reverence.
Doesn't even exist.
Looks like they're prospering very well. Okay, 3.
Chapter 3 is hard to find, page 716.
Yeah, there it is.
There is no number 3.
Verse 6 through 15. Now, this is going to put it in the perspective of of harlotry, of adultery committed against Yahweh, which Jerusalem and Judah did. And Judah, which are the two tribes, actually did worse than Israel. Actually worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And those were Yahweh's people.
What chapter again?
3.
Yeah, 3, verse 6. And Yahweh said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, this is Jeremiah, hast thou seen what apostate Israel did? Those are the 10 tribes. She used to go up, because they're already gone by the time Josiah started. She used to go up on every high mountain and beneath every green tree and commit unchastity there. There is, adultery. And I said, after she had been doing all these things unto me, shall thou return? And she returned not, and a treacherous sister of Judah saw it. Though she saw that for this apostate, Israel having committed what?
Adultery.
Against who?
Yahweh.
I have sent her away and have given her a what?
Scroll.
A scroll of divorcement. And divorcement means to cut the relationship. Unto her, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but she also went and committed unchastity. Yea, though it had come to pass that through the levity of her unchastity, she had defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and with a tree. Yea, in the spite of all this, her treacherous sister Judah returned not unto me with all her heart, but falsely, declared Yahweh. Then said Yahweh unto me, apostate Israel has justified herself more than a treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou, apostate Israel, urges Yahweh. Now this is great longing. I will not lower my face against you, for full of hesed I am, declareth Yahweh. I will not maintain my anger unto time's age abiding. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that against Yahweh thy Elohim hast thou transgressed. And that's what the adult is against.
To do. Yeah.
And has gone hither and thither under foreigners, under every green tree, but unto my voice ye have not hearkened, declareth Yahweh. And it goes on. So really what a call to Yahweh to say, you got to come back to me, but you've got to turn, and I'm not taking you back until you repent, change directions.
Was that chapter 3? Where were you?
Yeah, chapter 3, verse 6 through 15.
Okay.
Sorry. Now we go into Ezekiel 23. Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Ezekiel's full of it. Making Jerusalem and Israel as harlots.
You said 23?
Yeah, 23, 37. For they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands. Yea, with their manufactured gods have they committed adultery. Jesus is a manufactured god.
He never
claimed to be a god. Neither did Paul claim to be a god when he cured somebody. And they started trying to offer sacrifices unto Paul as Jupiter. And so he just said, stop, stop, stop.
He ripped his garment.
Same
just
thing.
Like,
yeah. And committed, and, you know, like, they committed adultery, and even their own children who they have bare unto me have they set apart for them to be devoured. We're not at that particular place. And you see, adultery, go to Revelations 2:22. The people will say, well, ours is different. Everything goes. Really, with in today's church, it's all grace. Anything goes. Everything goes. So, committing adultery against Yahweh.
Doesn't matter what you do, you don't do. Nothing's going to change.
Yeah, nothing's going to change. That's it. Because it's a free gift. Now, 2:22. But here is adultery again. Whoa. I cast her into a bed, and them who are committing adultery with her into the great tribulation, except they repent of her works. And so that's Jezebel and everything else that goes into Babylon. So adultery is, we're supposed to have a marriage with Yahweh. He is it. Regardless of my friends. And if you don't like my stand with Yahweh, so be it. I'm not going to hide my love affair with Yahweh. And when you're going after unchastely, after under gods, it's my duty at some particular time to inform you that you're doing that. But here's just an example. In our own family life, and so we have a child who has done the same thing, committed adultery, is committing adultery with Yahweh right now. And we see, and when I can say, I'm not going to obey one of the Ten Commandments, period. And I'm not sorry for it. What is that? What does that say to Yahweh?
I don't fear you.
Yeah, I don't fear you. Yeah, I don't fear you.
I don't fear you.
And
I'm
you're not my husband.
Yeah. Doesn't apply to me.
So in Deuteronomy 27:16, it says, cursed.
Wait a minute.
You don't have to go there. I'll just read it to you. You don't have to go there. Cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. So we have a child who does not respect their father or their mother. So they're breaking the fifth commandment. And so people will say, well, that's not one of it's not like murder. It's not like adultery. It's not like
robbing a bank.
Yeah, robbing a bank or stealing. You know, to Yahweh, it's the fifth commandment.
The fifth or the sixth?
Fifth. No, the sixth is murder.
Okay.
And this word on the curse is A-R-A-R, but that's a good explanation. It will be observed that the majority of curse sayings will fall into three general categories. The declaration of, if you're cursed, the declaration of punishments, the utterance of threats. If you do this, this is what's going to happen, or the proclamation of laws. It is interesting that all these cursed sayings are a reflex of one violating his relationship to Yahweh. So that's what it comes down to. You're going to be cursed because you're violating a relationship to Yahweh.
And this has nothing to do with freedom in Christ.
That's right. To illustrate from idolatry, disrespect for parents, deceiving one's neighbor, manipulating the disadvantaged, sexual aberrations, bribery, this is all Deuteronomy 27, bribery, and not observing Yahweh's law, all bring the condemnation of the curse. So, you know, do we take Yahweh's serious when it says, cursed is he that holdeth in light esteem his father and his mother? Is that an option? Is that a commandment? Or is that... Well, no, not today.
The IRS seize your property, would you fear it?
Yeah, and so, yeah, it's not today. So murder and adultery are not really frowned upon. Well, maybe murder, but adultery, because it's really not hurting anybody. It's a mutual consent. And so I can covet my neighbor's goods. I'm just not going to take them. And if I steal, if I have the government steal for me, it's really me not stealing, but I'm telling them to steal by taking somebody's taxes and giving them to me. Right? We can all do this, right? And at bearing false witness. You mean lying about somebody? Yeah. But it's only to one person. I'm lying about this person, just as to one person.
I've given every excuse.
Yeah, so you're like,
myself.
That's, you know, we're in grace. We're in grace, you know, so we can do whatever we like.
No consequences.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, people got to realize, very simple, we didn't do anything to deserve this. Well, yeah, you did. Can a person become a Christian refusing to obey the Ten Commandments?
No.
But they would say yes, because that is works. That is somebody, there's a condition here as a covenant. So what you're going to do is you're going to make Yahushua your master, which means you're going to obey the Ten Commandments. And when you disobey, you're entering into that covenant, that relationship, and that's your qualification. You're agreeing to do this before they give you Holy Ruach and you become the body of the Christ. You're agreeing to that. So there are conditions to be met. And we're using today is just say, Jesus, come into my heart, and it's done. Got it.
All right, check
did I agree to anything? Well, come into my heart, what does that mean? I don't know. But that's what you told me to say. You know, love. Fornicate? Well, yeah, I fornicate. It's all right. Everybody fornicates.
Everybody.
It's consensual. We're going to get married sometime, though. And it's like one person said, why buy the cow if the milk is free? You ever hear that? That's having sexual relations.
The way it's said.
Yeah, but sexual relations with an individual. Well, I'm getting the milk for free. Why buy the cow? Now we go to the difference is we're in grace. Well, let's just see about grace. 2 Corinthians 5. We kind of sum it up here. Yeah, there's a little problem here about being before the judgment seat of the Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we all must needs be made manifest before the judgment seat of the Christ. Wow, or the Mashiach. Remember, Christ is Greek. I should say Mashiach, which is Hebrew. Christos is where we get Christ, which is an adjective. Mashiach is anointed, means anointed as a noun. So anytime in the Old Covenant, whenever they say Mashiach, the Greek text, which was the Septuagint, replaced it with Christos. That each one may give back the things done by means of the body. We're all going to be before the judgment seat, that we may all give back the things done in the body. Well, that doesn't sound like grace at all. According to the things which he practiced, whether good or what?
Corrupt.
Oh, man, wait a minute here. Nobody told me this was going to happen. Now we go to
reap what I
chapter
sow.
6. Yeah, reaping what I sow.
Really, I never paid attention to
2 Corinthians, same, chapter 6, verse 11. Now watch, this is really nice. Our mouth is open unto you, O Corinthians. Is this the age of grace, what people would say? And grace is not the right word. Grace means to please. It's actually favor. Should be favor. And Rothman will do that. Our mouth is open unto you, O Corinthians. Our hearts have become enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but are straitened in your heart affections. Howbeit, by way of the like recompense, as I do children I speak, be enlarged even ye. Be not getting diversely yoked with unbelievers, or what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Mashiach with Baal-er? Or what part hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath a shrine or Debir of Yahweh with idols? For we are the Debir, you know, which, remember, that is the oracle that where it speaks. Or the shrine, but it's actually Debir, of Yahweh that liveth, that was the Holy of Holies. So from us, if we're holy, this is where Yahweh is going to speak. Even as Yahweh has said, I will dwell on them and walk and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Well, that is marriage. See, this is it. This is marriage. Wherefore come ye forth out of their midst and be separate, saith Yahweh, and one impure do not touch, and I will give you welcome and will become your father, and you shall become my sons and daughters, saith Yahweh of hosts. Now we go to 2 Corinthians 11, finish up here. 1 through 4, you want to read it? 1 through 4, Aaron?
I could wish ye would bear with me as to some little foolishness. Nay, do even bear with me. I'm jealous of you with the jealousy of Yahweh. For I myself betrothed you unto one husband. The present, a chaste virgin unto the Christ, or Mashiach. But I feared, lest by any means, as the serpent completely deceived Eve in his craftiness, your minds have been corrupted from the singleness, which are due unto the Mashiach. For if indeed he that cometh is proclaimed another Yehoshua, whom we have not proclaimed, or a different Ruah ye are receiving, which ye have not been receiving, or a different glad message, which ye have never welcomed, ye are well bearing.
And that is what we're coming right here. A different spirit is God the Holy Spirit, a different Jesus.
The Creator.
Yeah, the Creator. He's God the Son, not the Son of God, but he's God the Son. That's the different gospel that, you know, everything I read through here.
So unconditional much, love.
Yeah. This is when you die, you go right into heaven.
Or purgatory.
Yeah. And let's go to 13. For as for these are what? False apostles. Apostle means sent. Sent ones.
Chapter 13.
Now, Sam 11.
No, 13.
Yeah, chapter 11, verse 13. For such as these, who are giving you the different glad message, who are giving you the Spirit, who are giving you the new Jesus, deceitful workers, transfigured themselves unto apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself does transfigure himself into a messenger of light. These people all look good. The Dallas Theological Seminary looks great. And they talk the talk to a certain amount. No great thing, therefore, if his ministers also are transfiguring themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So we'll just kind of end there, but to realize our fidelity is to Yahweh. And if people are comfortable with that, if I'm going to lose friends because of that, guess what? I choose Yahweh.
Yeah, if you're going to lose friends because you choose your wife,
yeah,
forget the friend.
Yeah.
It's not a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You want me to be unfaithful to my wife to be your friend?
Yeah.
Leave.
Yeah, you're right. So we'll go ahead and hear from our Father, according to 1 Corinthians 14, on prophecy. Wake up, my children, and smell the flowers, smell the aroma around you, because I have embraced you with great fragrance, and through my Ruach HaKodesh within you, you are my children, whom I have anointed with great power and authority to deliver people from the power of darkness into my wonderful light. So read my word, meditate upon my word, and speak that word to the people who abide in darkness. Amen. See you next week.
Amen.